Okay, it is now a little past two, so we'll call this meeting to order. Welcome to the September 4th Development Engineering Advisory Board meeting. I am the current board president, Ryan Wilson, with Wilson Architects, and we'll start with member introductions. Just go around.
I'm Eric Galima with SGA Engineering.
Andrew Gunther, PLS Engineering.
Seth Halling with AKS Engineering.
Houston Aho, Aho Construction.
Victoria Abram, Clark County Building Department.
Terry Wallum, Wallum and Associates.
Mike Odorn, McKay Esposito.
Les McDonald, Clark. Les McDonald, Clark Regional Wastewater District.
Yeah, Jamie Housley, Jordan Ramis, and I got a message from Dan Weisner. He will not be here today.
My apologies for not being in person. I got a cold over the last few days, and I don't think you want me blowing my nose next to you.
Maya Bunch, Community Development Interim Director.
Naomi Paribanla, Development Engineering Manager.
Steve Gallup, Transportation Division Manager for Public Works.
Jeff Schnabel with Clark County Public Works Clean Water Division, Assessment and Infrastructure Manager.
Ian Harkins, BIA.
Justin Wood with the Clark County Association of Realtors.
Chris Carl, Capital Programs Manager, Clark County.
John McSherry, Senior Capital Programming Specialist, Clark County.
Is there anybody else online? All right, I think we've got everybody. As a reminder, this DEEB meeting is being recorded and the audio will be posted on the DEEB's website. Next item of business is to review and adopt the minutes from our July 10th meeting. Has everyone had a chance to review those?
I have, but I wasn't there, so I will abstain.
I have read them and I will move for adoption.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Right.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain. We'll move on.
One abstention. Next item on the agenda is to review upcoming events. Victoria.
Oh, I just checked the calendar this morning. There are a couple extra council meetings that just got added, so I'm going to speak to those, but they're not on this agenda. I can't get it updated, though. On 9/16 at 6 p.m., there's going to be a county council meeting for the update to the Clark County Code 2.33A for property management. On 9/23 at 10 a.m., they're going to have a council meeting with three topics. First one's going to be amendments to the 2023 annual action plan. The second will be to extend suspension of annual reviews. And the third is comprehensive solid waste management. On September 10th at 9 a.m., there'll be a Clark County work session for the 2025 comprehensive plan update, resource land study preparation / open house feedback. Second topic is going to be the urban tree canopy assessment phase one for the urban growth areas. And for the Planning Commission work sessions on Thursday, September 4th, which is tonight at 5:30, there will be an ADA transition plan update. And there's no public hearings for the Planning Commission scheduled as of today.
Did you say suspension of annual review?
Yes.
I suspect that might be due to the extension of the timeline for the comp plan update. That's my guess.
Yeah. Typically when the comp plan's on, they don't do annual reviews or done with the comp plan.
Right. Okay. So just a temporary suspension.
That's what I would guess.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Are there any member announcements?
I have one that's maybe a future agenda item, but we've had some recent delays with the
Public Health Department and the processing of their development review letters. And I was wondering if the county would be open to potentially allowing just proof of submittal to the health department to allow the land use application to be received and go through the fully complete review process. That's the way I think the county used to do it at one point. The city of Vancouver does it that way. For example, one of my most recent ones, it took 3 months to get the letter back. I know they've been facing some staffing challenges. So it's just something that I wanted to put out there, and whether that's, you know, for this group or for a future agenda item.
Yeah, I have experienced the same thing.
Yep.
It really, you know, it puts it very tight with your GIS packet expiration, and I'm trying to get all that without anything expiring is tough in your pre-app, original pre-app. So
that would probably be a question for Brent as to whether or not they allow the receipts to be provide proof, or an email from CCPH staff indicating that it has been submitted and that they will get it out as quickly as possible. I'm running into this with two City of Vancouver projects, a couple of them in Ridgefield, but they're allowing just the receipt to allow the application to go through. But they changed that requirement in the county to where we need to have it at the time of application rather than at the time of final engineering application. And so and we're submitting these, I'm sure, as early as possible in the process as we can. We need to have the plans done. We need to have the pre-application conference done. We need to have all of our
utility, the water and sewer utilities.
Yeah. And so those are getting done as quickly as possible. And it is, I don't have any projects in the county right now, but you know, the city, I think the City of Vancouver, I haven't asked them yet, but hopefully they'll allow the receipt to move forward. And that, I don't know, like before they issue a staff report decision, that we provide the development review letter from Clark County Public Health. So hopefully, I see Brent's not on here. Is he? I don't know if he's in the room or not. I didn't hear his name.
Excuse me, Brent's on vacation this week, so he will not be attending today's deep meeting.
As far as I'm aware, Clark County is the only jurisdiction that requires the actual health department review letter. Everybody else just accepts proof of request. Yeah.
Victoria, if you would please follow up with Brent upon his return from vacation and present this to him, I think we'd all appreciate it. And then maybe quick follow up with the rest of the D members.
Yes, once I talk to him, I'll send an email over to you, and then we'll discuss if we want to put it as an agenda item for future meetings.
I would hope that we could get it resolved before the next meeting. I think it's something, it's an emergency sort of thing. It's nothing that's in our control. If he could, you know, make a determination and then let us know, that'd be great. Then we can kind of get the word out. I'm sure we're not the only the only group that have been running into this situation.
And it historically had been 5-ish weeks, I think, for most of the reviews. And yeah, just like I said, the last one I got was 3 months or 90 days. So
yeah, thanks. That was a good one. Any other member announcements? Okay, we'll move on. The Transportation Improvement Program, Chris.
Yes, thank you. Victoria, do you want me to control the presentation, or is that something you have available there?
If you would like to share your screen, you are more than welcome to.
Sure. Okay. Okay, so this is just our yearly presentation before DEEB on our Transportation Improvement Program, our 2026 to 2031 Transportation Improvement Program. I'm Chris Carl, the Capital Programming Manager. Here with me also is John McSherry, our specialist. So we'll go through our presentation here, but John will take over and I think address your main concerns and our construction schedule within our six-year TIP. So our agenda, a little bit about our principles and legalities, and then we'll go over how our projects come into our six-year TIP from our 20-year capital facility plan, a little bit about our eval system, evaluation system, and then some mapping between our CFP and an overlay with our TIP. And then John will take over for the construction schedule and some project highlights. So a little bit about our legalities. Council has some guiding principles where we pay down our debt service, safety and preservation of existing assets before we get into our capital projects, which is what our TIP is going to be. We have to follow the comprehensive plan and underneath that, the capital facility plan that transitions projects into our six-year plan. Here it is in a little bit of a map or progress from underneath our Growth Management Act and through our comprehensive plan is our 20-year capital facility plan or CFP. From there, we evaluate our projects both on a large capital scale as well as within five different ongoing programs, namely safety, bridges and culverts, sidewalk and ADA, road preservation, and rural road projects. From there, we bring our projects, we identify projects and bring them into our six-year TIP. A little bit about our eval system, largely rooted in safety, economic development, and mobility. But there are some other factors that contribute to how we score our projects, namely leveraging of outside funding. And that's largely what our group does is pursue grants, both federal and state, to limit the amount of county cost, namely the county road fund, traffic impact fees, and real estate excise tax. Here's a map of the northern section of our county and our TIP. In the legend, projects in red and blue are large capital projects, and projects in green are projects that come through our five ongoing programs. Excuse me. Here's our southern section of the county, and you can see it's fuller with a lot more of our larger capital projects. And our overlay between the 20-year capital facility plan, currently the 2015 to 2035 CFP, currently in process of being updated and should be complete at year end or close into 2026. So where you see the overlays, namely the red and blue projects, on this map are projects that have fully transitioned in from that CFP into our TIP. The green projects are not a one-to-one match. They're just named as far as the ongoing programs, so they don't have a direct CFP mapping. But the ones that are in purple are future projects that could potentially come into our six-year program. And this is where I'll turn it over to John, who's going to go over the current six-year TIP and the projects that are at least scheduled for construction within the bounds of the 6 years. John?
Thank you, Chris. As I said earlier, I'm John McSherry, Senior Capital Programming Specialist with Clark County. This slide here shows our large capital projects, specifically in the area of the 179th Street. Number in orange is the total project estimated cost, and that includes the preliminary engineering right-of-way and construction dollars. These are the projects along 179th that are coordinated with the WASDOT's I-5 interchange project. The first project that we have going on, it's actually starting right now, is at the intersection of 179th and 29th, and that is scheduled to go through the end of 2027, and then we'll be coordinating the other projects that are closer to the interchange, including 15th Avenue, the 15th Avenue 15th to 26th Avenue and 179th to 10th. There's the Delfell interchange project where we're realigning Delfell to get it out of the way of the interchange. And then there's a stormwater facility, the Whipple Creek stormwater facility, that's associated with all of those projects. Then we have further out, we have a project from 29th to 50th. Next slide, please. Chris.
Hold on one second. There you go.
All right, thanks. This is another large capital project schedule. The first one on the list is at 152nd, goes between Patton and 99th, and that's also that's out to bid as of Tuesday or yesterday, Wednesday. Then we'll be starting that and working that for the next couple of years. Then we have the 72nd Ave 122nd to 133rd, which is on the outside of the horizon of our six-year plan. The next schedules are for our ongoing programs. We've got the bridge and culvert replacement rehabilitation projects. These are bridge projects. We've got the Whipple Creek Knapp-Carson Bridge, which is under construction right now. And then out into 2027, we'll have Matney, Mason, and then Daybreak in 2028. We have our annual road preservation project schedule listed here. We do have Sunset Falls, which is continuing from last year into this year, and then also the Northwest 78th Street, which is just wrapping up that from Lakeshore to Hazeldale. The St. John's Road project is scheduled to go to bid on the 24th, a couple weeks from today, or yesterday. And then we have the Blair Road project that's also going next year. We have Aurora Road project on 182nd Street at 182nd and Risto, and that one is scheduled to go out to bid on the 17th. The 68th Street sidewalk project is just wrapping up. The Highway 99 street project is just starting up. They're out there probably working today. The Truman School, we have scheduled at the end of next year, and then a project at Highway 99 that's at the end of 2027. And last but not least, these are safety program projects. We just completed the 119th, 152nd roundabout project. Then the Ward Road Davis is also another roundabout, and that one's scheduled for the end of next year. I think that's all on the schedules.
Yeah, hold on one second, John. I just want to jump in. I just want to clarify that the Whipple Knapp Carson Bridge bundle has not yet gone to construction. It's planned to go this year. It may need to slide into next year. But
okay, well, thanks, Chris. This slide shows a couple of projects that we completed last year. I mentioned the roundabout at 119th, 152nd. You can this is what you see in the photographs below, the before, during, and after. A couple other projects. I'm not sure if we have photos of them, but the Hawkinson Elementary School, the pedestrian improvements on 130th. By Patton Parkway and the school, the improvements at 179th and 50th, and also our annual 2024 HMA. I think we've got these photos here. So this top row of photos is the 130th Ave pedestrian improvements. And then the one below is the intersection at 179th and 50th. These are current projects that are just that we're working on this year. The 68th Street sidewalk is just wrapping up. We're putting in the rapid flashing beacons. That actually should be done by now. But this is the photographs on the bottom of that showing the wall that we put in at the water storage tank and the sidewalk along that stretch. And that goes from Highway 99 up to St. John's. Next slide. This is some before and after pictures of the Northwest 78th Street, Lakeshore to Hazeldale. This was an overlay and upgrade to all the ADA ramps along the way and also improved the intersection at Hazeldale Avenue. And then there's the pictures of our HMA overlays, which occurred in various locations throughout the county. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you, John. I kept my intro bit kind of brief, so we'll open up to comments and questions at the end if you have any more questions on what I covered. But I wanted to keep the focus on the heart of the construction, as I think y'all are more concerned with the construction schedule. But part of our adoption of our program is presenting here to DEEB. Last month, we presented to the Planning Commission, both as a work session and a hearing. And then our next step will be a county council work session on October 15th. And then our county council hearing has recently been chosen to be November 4th. So we do have a little bit of clarification on that. And that has to happen prior to our county budget being adopted, typically in December. So that concludes our presentation here. If anybody has any comments or questions, we could open it up and I could go back to any slide that you might want to see again.
No questions here, just thanks for the presentation and you guys have been busy, nice work.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, I would just like to say, as someone that frequently uses 78th Street, as I live on 90th Street, just off of 9th Avenue, it was a little challenging getting around, especially if I were coming home from Fruit Valley. But it looks really nice. All of the improvements are great. You took out that weird little turn right there at 9th Avenue and 78th Street. Good job on that. A quick question on the project that you have on Lakeshore Avenue from 78th up to 109th. Is that a complete redo? I know that the road's pretty good, but there are no sidewalks or anything. So can you provide a little more detail on that particular project? It's number 4 on one of the sheets, and then it's number C11 on another one. I tried looking in here and I didn't see any details as far as what it was. So,
yeah, that was still in the early works in terms of what is going to be done. But yes, PED improvements are going to be a large part of that in terms right. of what road standard is going to be built. There may be some sort of turn, but I think some of that has been done with the developments of the commercial through the years.
Yep.
That may need a little bit of shift in terms of when it first hit the capital facility plan to current. But yeah, the PED element will be a large part of that project.
Right, because I see people walking and running along that road daily. So
Yeah. And just a little bit of a thing that's not depicted here, it's going to be a City of Vancouver-led project, but they are in the early stages of looking into a roundabout at Lakeshore and 78th Street. So we'll be partnered in that.
Okay, cool. So right after you get done with it.
Well, yeah, but that'll help that triangle situation there, I think. So that's a good upgrade there.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
One question I have for you on this slide that you have up. the 99th Street, I think it's identified as D on this. I believe that one has construction complete. Is that accurate? Or that portion between 94th Avenue and SR 503?
Correct. Yeah, and it's still here because there are some elements that still need to finish. They're doing some work, off-road work, in the Leitner landfill, for example. But yes, functionally, it's complete.
Okay. Yeah, it looks good out there. Use it as a cut across to avoid traffic on Padden. So it's nice.
Yeah, that was good. Now, the next phase of that will be to the east to tie into that 72nd Avenue or that road. That'll be challenging. Any other comments or questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right. Next up on the agenda, 6-year stormwater capital plan. This is Jeff.
Yep. I'm right here behind you. I'll stay right here to present. I guess, Shannon, if you're running the slides, that'd be great. So, perfect. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Jeff Schnabel again, Clean Water Division Public Works here at the county. I'm the Infrastructure and Assessment Services Manager and in charge of putting together our stormwater capital plan and program update for you today. So, next, please. So, our goal today is just an overview of our 26 to 31 stormwater capital plan for you. We'll go through kind of similar steps that you saw from Chris and John momentarily or a moment ago. Permit overview, some of our policies and goals, regulatory requirements, a little bit about our 25 capital program recap. What are we doing in 26 to 31? And then more specifically, our first year out here in 2026. Next, please. So just a couple quick reminders. We're a little bit different than the TIP. So the Stormwater Capital Program does not construct any stormwater facilities to support new development in the county. Our projects are done under the NPDES Phase 1 Municipal Stormwater Permit, and they are addressing impacts from existing development rather than future or current development. So an important distinction between the two. Something new in 2025, though, we are starting to use some real estate excise tax 2 funding for the first time. So REIT 2 is now part of our funding mix, which does give us a nexus now with the comprehensive plan a little bit more than we used to. And therefore, we also did go to the Planning Commission this year for the first time. And also, I think this is the first time we brought our capital plan to you all at DEEB. So appreciate the opportunity to chat a little bit about what we're up to. Hopefully we make this an annual thing, or you can just tell us to get lost if you don't want us to come back. So, and then lastly there, Clark County Council, we don't have to have a formal adoption. It's not required for the Stormwater Capital Plan, but we do find it helpful. It helps us with our grant applications, helps us to be kind of in tune and in step with the rest of the capital planning and programming at the county. We do not have a public hearing involved with the council, but we do adopt by resolution at a hearing or at a standard council meeting. So next up, please. So just a little bit about our framework and regulatory requirements. The county's policy associated with this is just to meet the Phase 1 Municipal Stormwater Permit requirements. As we're doing that, we want to be protecting and enhancing our streams and wetlands, minimizing stormwater impacts, and then wherever we can, maximize public benefit of our county-owned lands. The specific regulatory elements are the Phase 1 Municipal Stormwater Permit. So we are required to have what's called a Stormwater Management for Existing Development Program, SMED, and that is directed at preventing or reducing impacts to waters of the state from existing stormwater outfalls. We do have requirements to do some stormwater management planning. We also have significant requirements as far as maintaining and operating our publicly owned stormwater infrastructure, We also do a little bit through the Underground Rejection Control Program. The UIC regulations statewide do require that if we have dry wells owned by the county that pose a threat to groundwater, we need to deal with those as part of our capital program. So next, please. Okay, just a little bit about our 2025 work summary. So we had 8 projects in construction this year, a number of different types. We did have our kind of largest project, this flagship project right now, is our Heritage Farm wetland restoration. If you've been past there on 78th Street, you'll notice lots of dirt moving. So that's a project that's been on the radar for, oh gosh, almost a decade now, probably, or maybe over a decade. So we're happy to see that thing getting built this year. We have several water quality projects where we're installing water quality treatment facilities along Highway 99 and Northeast 99th Street. Those are areas that typically just have no stormwater treatment whatsoever in the lower Salmon Creek area. So we've got a big focus right there right now just to get some treatment on those waters before they hit the streams. And then we also have our reforestation program. We've got a project right now out at Schreiber Northwest, which is a property out on the East Fork Lewis River, kind of across the river from the Center Bottoms. And then we also do major repair projects on some of our existing stormwater facilities. So we have several of those under construction this year. We also had 8 projects in design and an overall budget of $5.5 million, which is a pretty big year for us as far as the stormwater capital. So the graphic down at the bottom real quick is just a schematic of what we're doing out there at Heritage Farm, taking that ditch that runs all the way across the drained wetland and turning it into 8 wetland cells that'll be part of that landscape going forward. That's part of implementing the long-term farm management plan or farm master plan, I guess. Next, please. So looking ahead then, 26 to 31 plan, our priorities are always to take care of our required capital repair projects. Those are anything that is going to cost more than $25,000 by definition under our permit. Those become required capital repairs, so we try to front load those when we can. As I mentioned, water quality treatment, lower Salmon Creek tributaries, down in the Cougar, Suds, Tenney areas, just a lot of untreated stormwater down that way. And so we're really making a concerted effort down in that area. Reforestation program, we've got a 6-year goal of reforesting 30 acres of county-owned property during each 6-year period. And we're on our second 6-year period now, having done a little over 30 acres. And I think in this 6-year plan, we're actually going to shoot for more like 40. So that's been a really successful part of what we do. We also do put a little money towards property acquisition. We partner with Legacy Lands folks at the county to assist with some of the acquisitions of high benefit areas. We've got a couple of those in this next 6-year time period. So the other major difference or new thing kind of in 2026 is we are ramping up our major repair program specifically for detention ponds and also for some of our more aged out treatment. We're getting up to the point where some of the older stormwater facilities are getting a little long in the tooth and needing a little bit more than just routine maintenance. So we're kind of trying to take a little more proactive approach at some of those long-term asset management areas. Next, please. So this is actually the map from last year's plan, 25 to 30, which will give you ample information that I'm not quite done with the work for this year's plan. So there will be a map that looks very much like this. And a lot of these, most of these projects actually that you see are still relevant and they are in the 26 to 31 plan other than those 8 that we are building this year. So, but I put this in just to kind of show the blow up on the inset map there. You can see that we're really focusing kind of on that lower Salmon Creek corridor in there. Next, please. So this is just an overview of our project types. We have 31 projects in this current plan, about $20 million total for that 6-year, which is a significant increase from kind of our recent history. We've typically had plans in the $13 to $14 million range. And so now we're looking at about 20. We're hoping that that's something we can maintain and continue. So you can see there, as I've already mentioned, kind of the capital repairs and the water quality projects tend to be the lion's share of what we're trying to do. But there are a couple property acquisitions, the reforestation part, and then some, we do some in-stream stabilization and habitat type projects as well. Next, please. As far as funding, I alluded to this a little bit before, but basically now we have three primary funding sources. The Clean Water Fund has always been our primary funding source, still is, but we're at about $7.2 million for this 6-year period. And then, as mentioned, the REIT II now kicking in, so we do have $7.2 for that as well over the next 6 years. We're projecting about $5 million worth of grant funding. Of course, grants are all competitive, and so we kind of see how it goes. And then we do have one active loan. We did take out a loan from the Department of Ecology to help us with that heritage farm work, about $3.4 million. But the interest rate on that was a 20-year loan at 0.4%. So we jumped at that. I couldn't find anything that good in my mortgage or anything. So kind of nice to see that. State helping us out a bit. And then the graphic on the right is just kind of a breakdown from 2011 to 2023 showing that, you know, between state grants and state provisos, which is direct funding from the legislature, we're, you know, getting close to 30%, 28% of our funding for capital has come from grants and provisos, and the other has been Clean Water Fund, and that'll, of course, expand into REIT as we go forward. So next, please. So the first year of the 26 to 31 being next year, we'll have another pretty good size construction year, 7 projects. As mentioned, a couple major repairs there. These are, again, kind of focusing now on large detention ponds that are needing a little bit more than just the typical repair. A couple more big water quality projects along the Highway 99 corridor, and then some more reforestation. And then we will be helping out with an acquisition, or at least a planned acquisition, that Legacy Lands is doing up in the Three Creeks Greenway, which is also kind of in that Salmon Creek, lower Salmon Creek area. Again, we'll have some more projects coming into design. And so right now we like the clip that we're at and able to kind of keep up with, you know, designing and building about the same amount each year. So we're feeling good about that. Budget's a little lower because we don't have that huge wetland project. So about $3 million next year. Those photos there, the one on the left was kind of early stages of the grading out at Heritage Farm just recently. And then the one on the right is a vault being installed. And that's a typical look for many of our water quality projects. We're doing a lot where we're putting in the Contec or the PERC filters, getting some phosphorus control in some of the lake watersheds, including the lower Salmon Creek area draining to Vancouver Lake. So that's been a real productive piece of work lately. Next up. So as far as planning, I mentioned the stormwater management for existing development program. So we'll be updating our point calculations. The way that thing works is we have to score a certain number of points that we get through a fairly elaborate scoring matrix that Ecology has put together. So we run all of our projects through that, see how many points we get, make sure we're on track. So we'll be updating that to make sure that we are still hitting the mark. We do some sub-basin retrofit planning in specific areas every year, or at least most years. Right now we're working on supporting some of the lake management, lake watershed plan implementation out in Vancouver Lake and Lacamas, and also working on some required permit implementation stuff up in Mill Creek, off of Salmon Creek there, and then Upper Curtin and Patton Creek. We will continue to look for places to do some reforestation, and then asset management. There's a couple of major programs we're really trying to develop heavily right now, the first being pipe inspection and maintenance. We got a good boost from council last year to move forward. They were very supportive of taking a more proactive approach to our pipe network. We have something like 500 miles of underground pipe out there. Has never been something we've been able to routinely or systematically manage or inspect. So we do have equipment in hand and on the way to ramp up and stand up that program over the next year or so, which will be really cool. And then we also have some requirements in our new permit from the state to upgrade and expand our sweeping program. And then the last thing, long-term capital planning, not something we've ever had the opportunity to really get into in clean water, but we are looking to try to get a 20-year capital plan put together, again, to be kind of more in line with what the planning commission typically sees from TIP, and also just make sure we've got a long-term suite of projects that we can pull from to do our six-year plans. So next. All right, I won't spend any time on this. I think we are on exactly the same schedule that Chris shared, with the one exception that we do have our Clean Water Commission, that is kind of our guidance liaison with the council advisory group. So we'll go and talk with them here on October 1st, but we also will be at that November 4th meeting for adoption. And I think that might be my last slide. Yes, indeed. So thanks. Yeah, appreciate you taking a listen to what we're doing. If there's any questions, happy to chat.
I'm just cool going stuff. To give away how little I know about your department. Do you do these projects in-house, or are they bid out?
Good
or?
Question. Well, most of the designs are done in-house, and then we bid them through the same public works system that all the road projects are bid. So most of them are constructed through bid. Some of our repair projects, though, they're a little smaller, and we'll utilize our internal staff from the road ops group to do some of the small stuff. We get a pretty good bang for a buck on that. So
yeah.
On the funding sources, the Clean Water Fund, has that fee changed much over the years, or is it still pretty stable?
Yeah, it's it hadn't changed for since 2015 until this year. So last year we went through a lengthy process, a year-long process, a rate study that we worked through with county council to kind of come up with what we're going to need to implement the program, take care of new permit requirements and some of these asset management kind of don't kick the can down the road types of things. And so through that process of speaking with the council last year, they arrived at the desire to increase the fee a bit. And so actually a substantial increase last year. We had been at $47 as a base rate for like a single family housing unit, which the next lowest in the state was 120 for that level. So we went up to something like 84, I think, is now our unit price. So still considerably less than the next lowest in the state. So we're proud of that. We feel like we're getting an awful lot of good work done for those dollars. But yeah, so it did actually go up, and that's part of why you see a little bit more investment in the capital and the asset stuff. Yeah.
So did it change at all with the excise tax? So that's new funding, right?
I'm sorry, one more time?
The real estate excise tax, that you guys get a portion of that. So that goes into that kitty as well?
Yeah, that goes into the kitty. And that was part of the calculus as far as how much we were going to raise the rate. The availability of some of that money from REIT was used to sort of buy down some of that increase. So, yeah.
And then the Heritage Farm project looks interesting. Does it provide additional treatment as well, or is it just a wetland restoration?
The one at Heritage?
Yeah.
It's not specifically a treatment project. It is really more a wetland restoration to try to get that function, get a little more water in the ground, kind of take advantage of the sponge that we have up in that upper watershed. Cougar Creek is a kind of an important cold water source for Salmon Creek, which is a salmon recovery area for coho salmon these days. And so looking to kind of bolster that a little bit, we will get what we call a polishing effect because it is a wetland and there are multiple cells there. But the water that comes into the place, you know, on the upstream end of that is all treated storm water already. So we're kind of doubling the treatment, but it's mainly the function of the wetland that we're going for. Does that make sense?
So do you get any credit? Just an example, we just saw the transportation plan. If they have some projects where they have minor wetland impacts, is this project able to provide some credits for those projects to save money somewhere else with the expenditure here?
Yeah, unfortunately, no, for two reasons. One, this is a project we're doing for credit under the stormwater permit. And we are not allowed to use any projects that are under the stormwater permit to get points for that requirement.
to also provide mitigation. So they just kind of X that off right away. The other thing is we did use some grant and loan funding for this. And part of the grant and loan funding requirements is that you can't do you can't make it into a bank of any kind. Right. So you can't use it that way. Which is unfortunate. It would have been kind of cool to do that, but we do still have a little bit of credit left in our Salmon Creek mitigation site that we've used over the years for both clean water projects, and we also sell some credits off to the transportation program once in a while for those little ones. That's nearly tapped out. So one thing that we're looking to do in the next few years is try to find another spot and get another advanced mitigation site going for that purpose. So yeah.
Are there any other questions for Jeff? All right, thank you.
All right, thanks everybody. Good to see you.
All righty, the next item on our agenda is a road modification update. Turn it over to Naomi.
Hi, this is Naomi. I just wanted to give a quick update based on the feedback from the past meetings. Our team is implementing the last update that was presented to DEEB. We are also working on process improvements. We've introduced a reconsideration meeting process. I don't have a new process documented yet because we're still so much into the implementation phase. It's probably month three or four since we last presented to DEEB. We're also working on onboarding a new division manager, and we would like them to be in the position and have a little experience working on projects before we do any documented process changes. So that was just a quick process update for the advisory board.
Are you taking requests for those early road mod meetings yet?
We are not supportive of applicants present at the road mod meeting. We are providing a verbal decision for what the outcome is, especially if it is not supported. And we are happy to schedule a reconsideration meeting where you will meet with some key stakeholders.
I guess I was referring in a previous meeting, it had been brought up that the road mod committee was going to do something similar to like a pre-app, where prior to submitting the road mod or around the time you might submit it, and then you would do an in-person meeting with staff where they could provide preliminary feedback on the roadmap before more road mod before it went to full committee.
That has not been formalized yet. I think it was floated, the idea, but it's not formal yet. I think once we have our division manager, we'll work with internal stakeholders to see if that is supported. At this time, that's not supported. The reconsideration meeting is a chance for the applicant to meet with some key stakeholders.
I've had a few meetings with staff on a few road modifications and looking forward to hopefully using those to kind of refine the program a little bit and come up with some process improvements. So happy to be the guinea pig, although it's not always fun. But
yeah, I think since I have started in the position, I think we're moving in the right direction, especially with land use timelines getting so specific. I feel like our turnarounds have been better. It's just getting the expectation both on the applicant's end for what we receive so that we can make a decision, either supportive or how we can work together to get to a decision point.
Yeah, I've looked forward to kind of sharing some of the challenges we face, because when you're doing a road modification, you're kind of held between the blinders of this is the criteria for approval. But what we do as designers is we're trying to balance so many competing interests when we're doing these projects. Just had a meeting with the city of Vancouver, kind of, you know, unrelated to this, but we're looking at the middle housing. And you're looking at all the departments that have to give a little bit to make that housing practical. We're talking about things like the tree ordinance. You can't do the density that's like we're trying to achieve in the comp plan and trying to provide affordable housing when all these different things conflict. And we have wetland stuff. We have oak trees we're saving. And then the pure economics of it. So when we look at it, we're trying to come up with the most efficient design, especially as engineers. We're, you know, it's not black and white. It's navigating shades of gray and balancing competing interests. And that's what we really, that's really what our job is. And we're designing things, but that the other part is, you know, navigating those pieces. So it's been good spending time with staff. And I think like them seeing how the whole project comes together and the other challenges we face, like the economics. I ran a, on the most recent one, it seemed like a simple comment, but we looked at the economics of a project and it went from, you know, it was a middle housing project and it went from barely profitable with maybe 100,000 to one comment on the road mod that made it pretty close to 800,000 in the negative. The project's not feasible. So we need to have a little give and take. We need to look at it. We can't be treating, especially these infill projects, like you're out in Greenfield and you can pick your circulation and where you want on a grid. Circulation and the existing development's pretty established around it. And it's challenging to kind of piece in these developments and work with the constraints you have. So I know when the road mod, I don't want to knock them because they're doing what they are supposed to be doing within the constraints they have, but we may need to look at changing the tools they have and what they look at and what they consider. And also communication's huge. You know, one phone call and going over the project and what the challenges can save hours and hours of emails back and forth with the committee. We always try to, and I had the conversation a little earlier before we started the meeting, we're trying to provide just enough information to not inundate staff and make their life really hard, because you know, we're always trying to, do we submit a three-page summary of the topics, or do we submit, you know, 30 to 50 pages of analysis and things when someone who's looking at it from the other side could say, no, this, I don't need all this. This, it's very obvious that this is approvable and what you're trying to do here. It used to be, I think, more like that. And I think we need to get back to that. And if there's ever some reason why one's denied, I'd like to have a call and be able to explain it, because it's probably that we're missing something. We might not have done a great job of explaining it because we're trying to keep it simple, or there's other pieces. So it really comes down to trying to work towards a common goal and good communication. And also, I think, starting with yes, how can we make it work? There's a few examples, but I don't want to get into them now. But I've appreciated the opportunity to work with staff.
So, yeah, and we'll continue to keep that option open until we pivot to another direction if needed.
I'm sorry, did you say that the transportation manager has been hired, or?
It will be a development engineering division manager, and right. They will be starting September 22nd.
Okay.
I know when you guys hired in the past, you had some people from this board even kind of sit in on some of the interviews, the final interviews. Do you guys still do that, or has that process changed?
I am not the recruiting person for that role. I don't believe we had a DEEB member for the division manager position. Maya, do you have anything to add?
We did not have a DEEB member on this, but we had many other stakeholders on the recruitment. Dan Kaler is his name. He starts September 22nd, so he'll be here at your October DEEB meeting, and we look forward to introducing him to everybody here.
What was his last name? Dan, you said?
Dan. Yes, Dan Kaler.
Taylor?
Kaler.
Kaler.
Please don't go emailing him or calling him before he gets here. We want him to come. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments for Naomi? All right, then. Well, that was nice, short and sweet. At this point, I guess we are ready for public comment. Is there any members from the public who would like to make a comment? Hearing none, I will remind everybody that the next DEEB meeting is October 2nd, 2025, and we are adjourned.